Welcome to the weekly podcast of Soul Purpose Evangelical Church, located in the city of Middletown, New York. Today's message will be brought to you by our senior pastor, Reverend Albert Feliciano Sr. Each week, we stream our live recorded services to encourage, build up, and edify our listening audience. Our aim is to share with you the uncompromised and infallible word of the living God. Our prayer is that today's message will draw you closer in your relationship with Jesus Christ. And now, here is Pastor Albert with today's word.
This morning, as we're approaching Resurrection Sunday, I know next week is Palm Sunday, but we're going to continue with this particular message. This is part two of my Holy Ghost series. The title is simply Recapturing Pentecost. We started this morning in Acts chapter 2. We're going to stay there. We're going to read Acts chapter 2, verses 41 and 42. Two simple verses of scripture with high impact. Glory to God. Acts chapter 2. If you have it, say amen. Amen. Beginning at verse number 41. And the word of the living God says, "Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly," say the word continued, please, "in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship," hallelujah, say the word fellowship, glory to God, "and in the breaking of bread," you might as well go ahead and say that too, praise God, "breaking of bread, and in prayers," hallelujah. "They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, in breaking of bread, and in prayers." Glory to God. I don't want you to miss that. Saints of the Most High, you may take your seats this morning in the presence of the Lord. Glory to God. In order to do proper justice, proper study on the Holy Spirit, who he is, what he does, and why it is important for every believer to need him, to want him, to desire him, I think it's important to go back to the beginning. That means to go back to the day of Pentecost. Pentecost is the day of the promised gift, the coming of the Holy Spirit of God. It is really the birthday of the church. Hallelujah. The true church of the Lord Jesus Christ. The church that is Christ, not just the building. Hallelujah. Matthew 16, 18. And it says, "And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades," that means the gates of hell, "shall not prevail against it." We see Jesus uttering the word church for the very first time in this particular passage of scripture. The church is the word that Jesus made. It's his church. It's not Pastor Albert's church. It's not Pastor Francis's church or Pastor Daisy. It's not Pastor Shadrach's or any other pastors from any other congregation. The church belongs to Jesus. He died for the church. He rose again for the church. It is his church, his body. Glory to God. Let me talk a little bit about the word Pentecost. Let me tell you what it is, but before I can tell you what it is, I got to tell you what it is not. Glory to God. Pentecost is not the beginning of the Pentecostal church denomination. Let me just make sure you get that in your spirit. Amen. A lot of people think Pentecostal church is when the Pentecost, the day of Pentecost happened. Amen. They derive the title of Pentecostal from there, but that's not the birth of the Pentecostal church denomination. To think that would be error. Amen. Pentecost was named Pentecost because it was the 50th day after Passover. Amen. The world did not know what was happening during that time. We all know that Jesus resurrected from the tomb. In a couple of weeks, we're going to celebrate Resurrection Sunday. Notice that we don't call it Easter Sunday like many other churches do. We call it Resurrection Sunday. Notice that you won't see no Easter egg baskets and no bunny rabbits and grass and all that stuff, because that's simply not how we roll. Amen. If you want to know the origins of Easter, the holiday that has been so polluted by pagan rituals, then come on Resurrection Sunday morning and you'll get the whole upload. Amen. This is tradition now, 15 years. Now we're in our 16th year. You'll hear the 16th time, hallelujah, what Easter represents and what Resurrection Sunday represents. Glory to God. But Jesus resurrected from the tomb, and he walked on earth in his glorified state for 40 days and 40 nights. It was during that time that Jesus had commissioned his disciples, and they had witnessed Jesus' ascension into heaven. Before he ascended, like I was saying, he was talking to them. They saw miracles. They saw signs. They saw wonders. And this is where Jesus began to teach them and tell them, wait for the promise of the Father. I'm going to go away, but I'm going to endow you with power. There's going to be a gift of God, the promise of God that is for every single one of you. Tag, tell your neighbor, he's talking about you, praise God. The gift, the promise of God is for you. The promise of God is for me. Praise the living God. It is for every believer in Jesus Christ. Glory to God. Whether you like it or not, he is for you. He told his disciples, wait for the promise of the Father, the gift of the Holy Spirit. After Jesus ascended, there were 500 people that started to wait. But after that, 380 of them found something better to do. Isn't it funny that there's always something better to do? I'm sure there's people right now at home or at Great Adventure or at the beach or somewhere else because there's something better to do. Let me tell you something. For all that Jesus did for me, listen, for all that Jesus did for me, like Sunday morning is not even a factor in my plans. Like, I don't even factor, like, I have to be for 2 hours. All right, sometimes when we go OD, 3 hours, amen, right? But 3 hours a week, some of you spend 3 hours in front of a mirror putting makeup on. Woo, I went there, hallelujah. Wife, don't throw rocks at me, don't throw rocks at me. But listen, all right, let's go here. Some of us will sit and watch Lord of the Rings for 3 hours and we won't even move. You won't even go to the microwave to make popcorn. Right? I'll say, honey, go make me some popcorn. Hallelujah. Everybody needs one. Hallelujah. But there are things that we do throughout the course of our week and we don't even think about the time. But on Sunday morning, we say, ah, that pastor, man, he talked too much, man. Ain't nobody got time for that. And we don't even want to come. But listen, for 2 hours, one time a week, that's all we're able to do currently because we don't have our own building. But for one day, 2 hours in the Sunday morning, why not give God the first, the best of the week? If you start your week with Jesus, the rest of your week will go that much better for you. Just saying. But after 10 days of waiting, so now we got 50 days. After that time of prayer and fasting, 120 disciples in a room of one accord. That means they were in unity. They laid aside their differences. They put away all that trash that offends people, all the differences. I don't like the way she wears her hairstyle. I don't like that color. Forget about all that stuff. Lay it aside. They came together as one. One, two, three. Hallelujah. That's for the ladies in the house. And when they were together as one, glory to God, the Holy Spirit came in. Whoosh, like a mighty rushing wind. Listen to this, Acts 2, 1 through 4. We read it earlier, but for those that have been late, hallelujah, this one's for you. Praise God. I love you. Praise God. I'm just busting chops. Amen. I still love you. Praise God. Number 1, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all in one accord in one place. And suddenly, there comes a time when you're not paying attention. And suddenly, whoosh, there's times when you're driving your car and suddenly the Holy Spirit says, pull over. There comes a time where you're walking or you're talking or you're thinking and suddenly the Holy Spirit comes upon you and the Holy Spirit says, take that $20 bill, whip it out and give it to that brother right there. And then there's other times where the Holy Spirit says, pick up the phone and I want you to call this person. I want you to get in your car and I want you to drive over here. And as you start to become sensitive to the Holy Spirit, then the suddenly becomes a season of excitement, a season of adventure. You're going to go, whoa, hallelujah. There was a lady in my old church. I forget her name. She went home to be with the Lord. Little old lady. She had to be like 3 foot tall. I'm serious. Like a pygmy from the jungle, but she was little like this. But she was powerful. Hallelujah. That woman, the Holy Spirit would come out and she go, but it was like this. Her clapping was so fast. It was like somebody, you know how you go, but it was with, she had skills, but she'd be speaking in such a, I said, only the Spirit of God could do that. Because even if I try to get jiggy with it, I still can't clap that fast. Suddenly, hallelujah, suddenly there came a sound from heaven, whoosh, like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. How many know that could happen right now? That could happen to you right now. And then there appeared to them divided tongues of fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled, hallelujah, all of them, with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. What does that tell us, church? That it is for everybody. It is for everyone. If you can wait upon the Lord, he shall renew your strength. You will mount up on wings like eagles. You will run and not grow weary. You will walk and not faint. Hallelujah. The Spirit of God will come upon you and you'll never be the same again. You'll be a Jesus freak. You'll be a hallelujah. You'll be one of the loons. You'll be cray cray for JC. Hallelujah. And people will not invite you to their parties anymore. You won't get invited. You won't be welcome at Thanksgiving dinner. Because they know at any moment you're going to talk about the Lord. At any moment you're going to talk about Jesus. Because there's a bubbling brook. It's a living water. It's a water that comes from within the soul. And it has to pour out. There's an overflow and overabundance. There is rivers of living water. And there's too much to hold it in. You got to let it out. Hallelujah. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Others are looking at me like, this dude is tripping. I'm tripping for Jesus. Hallelujah. Notice, I got to say this because it's important. Notice that there was no loony behavior. Yes, some might disagree and say, oh, but if you read further, they thought they were drunk. No, they just didn't understand. But there was no convulsions. There was no crazy shaking. Their hair wasn't going, woo, 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 woo. The chancletas weren't falling off and go, ch-ch-ch, and hitting people, cocotazos in the head. It wasn't none of that. I've seen it. I've experienced it. I got to tell a story. Maybe I shouldn't, but I'm going to. Hallelujah. Jesus, help me, Lord.
I remember in my old church, we went to a sectional service. Spanish Pentecostals, we were good at that. We used to go to sectional service. That means you'd go to somebody else's church every 3 months and you would have a sectional service. And this one brother came up to the front and he began talking, and there's wooden bancos. That means wooden benches, pews, wooden. And he goes up there to give a testimony. When he goes, hermano, que señor le bendiga, he starts shaking and convulsing. And next thing you know, he went forward. He bumped his head on the banco, on the bench, and he had a big old hematoma on his forehead. I'm talking, wait. He looked like E.T. phone home, like big. And he was knocked out and fell on the floor. And everybody said, leave him alone. He's slain in the spirit. No, he's not. Call an ambulance, man. Get a medic up in here. Praise God. I mean, where in scripture does it say slain in the spirit? Homeboy got a big old knot on his head. It looked like the map of the United States on his head. We're so foolish. Oh, just let him be. He'll come to. Yeah, with a headache. That brother needs Tylenol. He needs some milk. He needs one of Sister Sade's remedies, praise God. Hallelujah. He needs one of them shots, ginger shot, whatever it is she puts in there, the love juice. Hallelujah. You know why it's so important? I mean, yeah, this is funny. We laugh about this. But it's so important because if you don't know any better, you think that's God. This is why people don't want to come to church, because they see this loony stuff going on and they don't want to come. They say, yo, I went to that church. They were crazy. I ain't never going back over it. You know why? Because we've lost sight of what it means to know about the Spirit of the living God. We don't read the Word anymore. Nobody wants to read. That's it, my brother. You nailed it. It's emotionalism. It's flesh. The Bible says flesh profits for nothing, but it's the spirit that gives life. I'm talking to somebody here. Praise God. Let me talk a little bit about the work of the Holy Spirit, especially at Pentecost. This is so important because so often we miss the whole point, praise God. The work of the Holy Spirit, number one, is conversion. Praise the living God. It says, then those who gladly received his word. What does it mean to gladly receive the word? They didn't just receive it. They received it with cheerfulness of heart, with joy, with appreciation. There were at least 3,000 people who had come to the feast of the Passover. You might say, okay, no big deal, 3,000, that's a pretty cool number. But let me tell you why this is important, because those 3,000 were in the very crowd that a few days earlier or 50 days earlier were going, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. 3,000, crucify, give us Barabbas. Do you understand? Those 3,000, they were the ones that were there at the Feast of the Passover. 3,000 Christ-rejecting Jews. Kill him. Crucify him. What does that say? For those that think, man, I've done too much dirt in my life. I don't think God is ever able to forgive me. I'm just surprised the chandeliers didn't come down and I'm in this room. I'm surprised they're still on the ceiling. I've done so much dirt. You know what this tells me? That nothing you have done is so far out of reach that God can't rescue you. No one is out of the reach of the blessed promised gift of the Father. 50 days earlier, they're shouting, crucify. And now today, they're gladly receiving the word of the living God. What is the word that they gladly received? It was a message of conviction. It wasn't a message of love like so many people think. You could go in the entire book of Acts and you're not going to find love in any message. In any message of the apostles, not once. I've had people tell me, Pastor, you know, I love the way you preach, but man, bro, I think you need to tone it down a little bit. I think you need to take it down a notch. I'm like, bro, I wish I could. I don't know how to read the word and soften the word. I can't see how you could put sugar on it and allow people to take a nice daddy's donut word. I don't know. What is the donuts, man? Praise God. I bind it, sister, in the name of Jesus. Listen, sugar-coated preaching will cost you your life. And there are some people that won't go to church where the pastor's getting up all in their business in Kool-Aid because they want that sweet, lovey-dovey, tickling ear message. They don't want conviction. They want the pablum, the mush. They want the watered-down word. Well, you came to the wrong church. The word is supposed to pierce. Listen to this. Acts 2, 22. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know. Think about this. They couldn't deny it. The disciples said the truth. They saw the works of Jesus. They knew he was from God. They knew that Jesus had to be sent of the Lord. We know that the Holy Spirit convicts us. We learned about it last week, of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. But they didn't stop with just, you knew that there was something different about him. You knew, you saw the signs and the wonders. But they went on and they started talking about the cross. Acts 2:23, the next verse, he says, him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands, have crucified and put to death. Think about that. Woo! They're basically saying, even though you knew he was from God, you guys went ahead and shouted out to crucify him. And as a result, he was crucified. You knew he was the Christ. And you put him on the cross anyway. You would think that people go, oh, psst. Talking about me like that. You don't know me. You don't know me. Isn't that something? Everybody, when you offend them, you don't even know me. You don't know nothing about me, yeah? But the tree is known by its fruit. And what I see is not of the Lord, is of the flesh. How you like me now? But here's the funny thing, that even in this accusation, the Apostle Peter was saying, but you're part of the purpose and you didn't even know it. Him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God. In other words, you were just doing your part. You didn't even know it, but you're part of the plan. Just like the scoffers today. There will be scoffers in the last days that say, where is the promise of your coming? Guess what, bro? You're part of the prophecy. Those scoffers and mockers that are laughing at us for waiting on the rapture, waiting on the promised return of Jesus Christ, they're the ones that are part of the prophecy. Don't even know it. They had personal involvement, but albeit part of God's plan of redemption. And then he continued, but this plan of redemption has to include the resurrection. Acts 2:24, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it. Glory to God. The resurrection proved beyond a shadow of a doubt that Jesus Christ was the Messiah, the Christ, the living God. Death couldn't contain him. Death couldn't hold him down. He took away the keys from sin and death and the grave. He overcame it by the power of God, and they knew it. Praise the Lord. Listen to the sermonette. This is so important. I don't want you to miss this. All this happened on the day of Pentecost. I'm going to read just four verses of this little sermon. See if this is a warm and fuzzy word. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Think about this. How many hundreds, if not thousands of years, were they waiting for the Messiah? And now he comes, and they had personal involvement. Crucify, crucify. Now that they know, they say, what can we do? What are we going to do now? Then Peter said to them, repent. And let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Glory to God. For the promise is to you and your children, and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. Glory to God. That means even if you were as hard as a stone, God's word is going to bust the stone. Even if your heart is so tough, the sword of the Spirit will cut it like a knife, a hot knife through butter. And no matter what, whatever sin is there, the Spirit of God will burn it out and will consume it. Hallelujah. Will cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Glory to God. And the word of God, spoken under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, produce conversion. It produced lives that would change at a moment. And they were baptized. They were filled with the Holy Ghost. 3,000 people became born again. That's power. Look at the work of the Holy Spirit of God in conversion. Look at this. The real conversion is a work of the Holy Ghost. Look at Nicodemus. We talked a little bit about this last week, but I want you to read this with me. John 3, 1 through 8. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night because he didn't want to be seen. He came by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Stop right there. So even though he may not understand, he already knows that Jesus is from God. Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now here comes the flesh. Because there's no spirit. And this is the problem many Christians have. Flesh. Logos. All flesh. He says to Jesus, Nicodemus says to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? I'm sure Jesus must have went, before, we don't see it in scripture, but I'm just thinking. It's plausible. Amen. He must have shook his head and said, oh. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water, that's flesh, and spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but you cannot tell where it is and where it comes and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. And this guy probably stood there and marveled, and even though he had the complete instruction, he probably said, wondering still, what exactly does that mean? This is a teacher of Israel. If he can't understand, how is he going to teach those in his overseeing duties? Look about the testimony of Paul and Titus. Titus 3, 4 through 7. Listen to this. But when the kindness and love of God, our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, that having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Glory to God. Think about this word, regeneration. Let me put it to you this way. Regeneration. The blood of Christ covers over us. We're regenerated with the washing of the blood of Christ, with the washing of the word. We're regenerated. We're renewed. We're made new through Christ Jesus, through his Holy Spirit. Glory to God. The Bible tells us in John 6:44, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. How many plan to be raised up on the last day? Glory to God. If the Lord should tarry, my soul goes to the Father at death. Praise the Lord. But I will be regenerated. I will be resurrected. Glory to God. What a blessed hope. Let's think about the work of the Holy Spirit in public witness. The Bible says that they were all, what? Baptized. Salvation takes place in the heart, but we confess Christ publicly. In order to become a Christian, you've got to believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. You've got to believe that he is risen from the dead, and that then you would receive him in your heart. Amen? And it's a public witness. Salvation takes place in the heart, but we confess him publicly. Baptism is a public witness. That means we come into public identification with Jesus. Your baptism, especially baptism in water, is literally a public funeral of the old you. It's a resurrection of the new you. Glory to God. Think about the Holy Spirit when he came upon Jesus in water baptism. It was public. For those of us here that have been water baptized, I tell you the truth, it was the right decision. Praise God. But think about the Holy Spirit, how he moved you into this act of obedience unto Jesus Christ. Think of the hostile atmosphere it must be when you came to Jesus in the first place, and how many people must have come at you and said, are you sure you joined a cult? You're involved with something crazy. I would run for the hills, blah, blah, blah. And then so many people think, man, I'm not getting baptized. It's public. I don't want to be embarrassed. Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me before man, I'll be ashamed of you before my Father in heaven. And then there are others that says, well, you know what? I don't need to be baptized. The thief on the cross wasn't baptized. You're right. Praise God. But listen, and don't count this out. The thief on the cross was surely about to die. He was on his deathbed. He was nailed to the tree. He didn't have time to go to Sunday school. He didn't have time to go to Bible study. He didn't have time to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. He was going to die. Many of us don't have understanding or knowledge of the day that's going to come when one day we're going to die. We don't know. So we're saying, I don't have to be baptized. Yeah, you're right. You don't have to be baptized. You could still go to glory without the water baptism. That's true. But wouldn't it be better to follow in the footsteps of Jesus? For those that choose baptism, for those that say, I'm born again, I'm washed, I had an inward work of the Holy Spirit, and I want the world to know that I belong to Jesus. If you've made that choice, or you're about to make that choice, let me tell you, you're in good company. Praise God. Jesus himself chose baptism. Paul chose it. 3,000 converts that day chose baptism. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit gives public expression to the gospel. When someone goes in the water and they come out, it's telling the whole world, man, this conversion must be real. That person must be all in. That person must love Jesus, that they would go publicly and confess their loyalty, their devotion to Jesus Christ. Your public testimony, your public witness tells others about the authenticity of your conversion. And this is important to understand as well. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the world. I want you to listen to this, guys, because when Jesus died 40 days, 40 nights, and he goes and he resurrects and he's ascended now, the disciples are still fearful. They're in the upper room and they're in hiding. But no sooner that the Holy Spirit comes in, what is the very next thing that we see happen? Once the Spirit of God came in, the Bible says they were immediately filled with the Spirit of God and they had the power of the Holy Spirit of God. What did they do? They left the room. They weren't hiding anymore. Suddenly they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave them utterance. They came out of the room. They came out of hiding. Somebody say they came out of the closet. Hallelujah. So many people are coming out of the closet and the Christians want to stay in the closet. But when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you come out of the closet. And what do? When you come out, you begin to preach the word of the living God. You have a power to witness. There was a boldness and a confidence that was immediately exhibited. So many in the body of Christ do not have this boldness. And I'm going to say this in love, but I have to say it because it's truth. Not because they aren't baptized, because we're all baptized when we receive the Spirit of the Lord. But it's because they choose not to operate in the gifts. They suppress it. Sometimes it's a lack of faith. Sometimes it's a lack of trust. Sometimes it's shyness. Sometimes they're uninformed. But the bottom line is, very often in our day, the Holy Spirit is trapped inside cages of unbelief and doubt and unyielded hearts. There are many doubting Thomases in the body of Christ. Brother and sister, this should not be the case, especially when we know Hebrews 11:6, but without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, that he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Look at Ephesians 4:30. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. How can we possibly grieve the Holy Spirit when he tells us to do something and we're too shy to do it? When he tells us to move, when he tells us to go, when he tells us to pick up the phone, when he tells us to do something and we suppress it, we withhold it, we have to get confirmations and throw out 30 fleeces. Saints of God, we need to grow up. Let's think of the work of the Spirit of God that day and the growth and maturity. Listen, verse 42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, in breaking of bread, and in prayers. Hallelujah. Sounds a lot like church, doesn't it? These disciples were not just content to escape hell or to have fire insurance. So many Christians are satisfied just with that. Well, I'm not going to hell. But we shouldn't be content that we're not going to hell, because there are others that may end up there because they don't know. They not only had a desire to grow and mature in him, but they had a desire to become a true, authentic follower and disciple of Jesus Christ. The promised Holy Spirit of God is so important, because the Holy Spirit is going to equip you and train you and teach you. Listen to this. If you love me, John 14, if you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as an orphan. I will come to you. Glory to God. Look at verse 26 in that same chapter. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. How wonderful, how sweet it is to have fellowship with Jesus, with the Holy Spirit, with the Father. The Holy Spirit is our helper, our comforter, our teacher, our guide, our counselor. He's everything to the believer. Not only will he walk with you, but he will be in you. Hallelujah. He will teach you, saints of the Most High. He will teach you how to have fellowship with one another. Yes, even fellowship with those that rub you the wrong way. He will teach you how to bond with other believers. He will teach you how to break bread with one another. That means to have communion or even to sit at each other's table. I believe there's no better way to get to know someone than to be at the table. He will teach you how to pray, how to intercede. He will give you the utterance even to pray in the Spirit. He will lead you to higher ground. I love that verse of Revelations 4:1 when the door says, come up here. Hallelujah. That's God calling us. Come up higher. Come up higher. Praise God. The Holy Spirit gives us a blessed hope. He's poured out in our heart. Now hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our heart by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. I'm going to share this. I'm not going to say a name, but there was someone that called me this week and had asked me, I don't know what it is, but there's a burning in my heart. There's a burning. There's an unction. There's something troubling me. I just have to do this. I have to do this. I said, go ahead and do it. I don't understand. What is that? You know what that is? That's the Holy Spirit of God. You see, when you become a child of the Most High God, everything begins to change. And now you start to hear, you start to sense the move of God's Spirit. The Holy Spirit begins to put something in your heart and you start to respond differently. Listen, the Lord Jesus Christ said the Holy Spirit is for everybody, for the Jew and the Gentile alike. Acts 15:8. So God, who knows the heart, acknowledged them by giving them the Holy Spirit, just as he did to us. These are the disciples talking about God giving the Holy Spirit to the Gentiles, to the Greeks. And they were wondering, how so? How could it be? Well, God knows their heart. God gave the Holy Spirit to everyone as he did. So I want to get back to the very original theme where we started this morning. Why the title? Recapturing Pentecost. This is so important. Church, we need to recapture what seems to have been lost, so much so in the body of Christ. Listen, the early church had been in so harsh, extreme conditions of duress, so much hate, so much pressure, so much hardship and persecution. Christians were burned alive. Nero and Herod, they killed them and fed them to lions. They put them in the arena. And people would clap and applaud by watching them being ripped to pieces by lions. Clapping. And there would be street lamps. Oh, you want to be the light of the world? Well, why don't you light up the street for us? They would light Christians on fire to light up the road at night. And on, there was so much stuff. They were hung, they were beaten, they were in prison, they were executed, they were tortured, they were crucified. There's not one account in historical record of any true disciples recanting their commitment to Christ. No one ever renounced Jesus. No one ever rejected Christ or even turned on their salvation. No one ever lied about what they saw. In fact, these very people who were going to their death were praying to Jesus Christ for their executioners as they're about to be burned alive. They're asking God to forgive them for their own murderers. They went to their deaths with courage and boldness. And the more blood that was spilled, the more the church grew.
Amen.
Where does this courage and boldness come from? Where does this tenacity come from? I tell you the truth, it comes from the very presence of the Holy Spirit, fire of God. Paul and Silas, they were beaten almost to death and they were thrown in prison. And they had a praise and worship service in there. Peter and the disciples, they went from fear into faith in one single touch of the Holy Spirit. And this was something that had been prophesied earlier. Think about John the Baptist in Matthew 3:11. He said, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Turn to your neighbor and say, we need the fire. Hallelujah. We need it. I need it. You need it. And for those of you that are afraid, but I know I need it, but I don't know what to say. Well, I got an answer for you. Matthew 10:16-20. Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be as wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to councils and scourge you in their synagogues. You will be brought before governors and kings for my sake, as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles. That means opportunity. Glory to God. But when they deliver you up, do not worry. I hear the song. Don't worry. Be happy. Hallelujah. Because sometimes we got to stand before a judge. I told you a couple weeks ago, I had to stand before the judge. They said, you got to be out. We'll give you 2 weeks. Well, if you don't take this, we'll give you 2 days. Get out, or we're going to send the marshals. Thank you so much. This is wonderful. Praise God. Glory to God. Yeah, may I have another? Thank you, sir. May I have another? God bless you. You and your household. Sometimes you got to grin through it. Hallelujah. Sometimes you got to say, you know what? You're not the end, bro. God has the final word. It will be an opportunity for you to testify about the goodness of God. Verse 19, but when they deliver you up, do not worry about what you should speak, for it will be given to you in that hour what you should speak. For it is not you who speaks, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. Glory to God. That should encourage everybody in the room. This is the real deal here. Jesus started a mission, and when he ascended, he told us to continue the mission. What is the mission? It is the great commission of the brethren. It started in the garden where he told Adam and Eve, be fruitful and multiply. And he tells us today, Matthew 16, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. But he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs, this is where the power comes. And these signs shall follow those who believe. In my name. I want you to see the very first thing on the list. Because people shy away from deliverance. There are pastors that won't talk about it, won't do it. They will tell you to go to somebody else that does deliverance ministry. Every believer, every Christian. Those that are baptized, it says, in my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. That means it's for everybody. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means harm them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. There's no ambiguity in that. There's no mystery in that. It's straight up truth. Power. Tongues. Listen, This is for those cessationists out there that believe that tongues and deliverance and signs and wonders had ceased with the apostles. I'm telling you that that's not the truth. My word tells me these are Jesus's words right here. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. Why would we speak with new tongues if tongues have ceased? Why will we cast out demons if that has ceased? Why will they lay hands on the sick and they recover if healings and signs and wonders has ceased with the apostles? It's because you're qualifying that because you don't do it in your own personal walk, because you're still in the logos, in the immaturity of the word, and because you don't see signs and wonders in your life, you have to state that it doesn't exist because you haven't witnessed it. But you got a pastor here who's got a new heart. You got people in this room that were healed of cancer. You've got people delivered from vitiligo. You've got people that have been delivered from fibromyalgia, from schizophrenia, from all kinds of diseases. What are you telling me that there are no signs and wonders? Praise God. Glory to God. There's a well. There was a well that needed to be in there. Well, hallelujah. Matthew 28. Go therefore and what? Make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you to the end of the age. Glory to God. Notice how Jesus never said, go and make converts. He said, go and make disciples. Too many churches are interested in converts. Praise God, but this is why discipleship matters, because converts are introduced, but disciples reproduce. Hallelujah. How many are reproducing themselves? How many are being fruitful and multiplying? Disciples are trained. They are matured. They are seasoned in prayer, in worship, in the word of God. They are fishers of men. They are multipliers. They are reproducers. They are evangelists. Hallelujah. And more importantly, they are full of the power, the fire of the Spirit of the living God. Hallelujah. Christians, I'm going to say something. Some of you might get a little upset with this, but it should only produce a change in your spirit and in your attitude. Amen?
Amen.
For a Christian, that means a bona fide believer, sanctified, spirit-filled, faithful steward, all the above, never misses church, always on time. For a Christian, to not consider evangelism in their personal ministry, in their personal walk, to stay silent about Jesus, is to tell the world, go to hell. I want to read a poem, author unknown. It says, a letter from an unsaved friend. My friend, I stand in judgment now and feel that you're to blame somehow. On earth, I walk with you day by day, and never did you show me the way. You knew the Savior in truth and in glory, but never did you tell me his story. My knowledge then was very dim. You could have led me safe to him. Though we live together here on earth, you never told me about the second birth. And now I stand before eternal hell because of heaven's glory you did not tell. Help us, O God. Forgive us, O God, for letting anyone slip into eternity on our watch. Have mercy on our soul. As the disciples of Jesus Christ, who have been forgiven much, who have freely received the love of Jesus. It is our solemn duty to share the good news with the lost world. You know what the good news is? Think of it this way, as it was once stated. The good news is described like one beggar showing another beggar where to find bread. How sweet it is for someone who's thirsty or hungry to have food or drink. Saints of God, there's no question. We're living in the final days. I would even say the final hours could possibly be the final minutes. Jesus said there will be signs in the heavens above and on the earth below. Do a Google search. I'm not going to go too into it now, but April 8th, which is right around the corner, there's going to be an eclipse and all kinds of crazy stuff is supposed to happen in the skies above and even on the earth below. We already see nations have risen up against nations. There's a great divide in our own country. It's no longer middle of the road anymore. It's no longer independent anymore. It's either extreme left or extreme right. And if you're anything other, you are outcasted. As a matter of fact, even if you pick a side, you're still outcasted. One side won't associate with you. You won't be invited to their house. You won't be invited to the parties because they just don't want to be in your presence. How horrible. We see Israel under attack daily, surrounded by enemies in every direction. And listen, Israel is not innocent. There are lawmakers in Israel trying to ban Christianity and put in prison anyone who calls on the name of Jesus. But this is also prophetic because the Bible says Jesus is not going to come until they say, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." We see famines and pestilence and disease. We've gone through coronavirus, the Rona. We've gone through monkeypox and sugar pops and sugar smacks. We've gone through it all. Through Fruit Loops. There are people who think they're Fruit Loops. West Nile virus, AIDS, all kinds of stuff. They want us to be sick. There's betrayal. Parents betraying children. Children betraying parents. The Bible says there will be an increase in knowledge. There's internet, global internet. Everything that happens right now, you could see it in seconds. Technology is prepared for the Antichrist. Let me read you a portion of scripture found in Luke 21, 8 through 13. And these are Jesus' words again. He says, "Take heed that you do not be deceived. For many will come in my name saying, 'I am he.' And the time is drawn near. Therefore, do not go after them. But when you hear of wars and commotions, do not be terrified, for these things must come to pass first. But the end will not come immediately." Then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. And there will be great earthquakes in various places and famines and pestilence. And there will be fearful sights and great signs from heaven." We're seeing that now. "But before all these things, they will lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and to prison. You will be brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake." Listen to this. "But it will turn out for you as an occasion for testimony." Here we go again. That means when you're brought before the judge, when you're brought before the magistrate, when you're brought before the world's taskmasters, it will be an opportunity for you to go and to tell them about Jesus. We know that the world is in travail. The Bible says all creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Saints of the Most High, people need answers. People need hope. They need solutions. The world needs Jesus. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me." Saints of God, you have been called to preach Jesus to all people, to share Jesus, to evangelize, to be part of the Great Commission. Romans 10:14, how then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Turn to your neighbor and say, tag, you're it. Hallelujah. Saints of God, you are God's plan A. Luke 12:12. For the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say. Saints of God, be filled with the Holy Spirit and with fire. I'm going to say something again, and then I'm coming to an end of the message. Before I say this, I want to say this with gentleness, with love, and with respect. Some may be offended by these words, but I'm going to say it anyway. So hold on. Let's do it, Brother AJ. Let's go and touch your shoulder and just snap in. Here, click. It's about to get thick in the room. You're going to hear the deafening silence in just a minute. It's going to come. But for those that hear and see in the spirit, you're going to know this is the right word. Amen? Let me give you an illustration first, and then I'm going to say what I'm going to say. Imagine this. Imagine right after church, you go to your favorite lunch spot. Let's say you go to the Deluxe, you go to the wherever, Americana, you go somewhere. And you stuff your face. Casa Mia. Cosmos, you name it. Pizzeria, Pizza Hut, whatever. You stuff your face. And you walk out, and you're like this. Oh, you shouldn't eat like that. Hallelujah. But anyway, you stuff your face. And now a brother or a sister comes from church, a late person, and they see you walking out of your favorite restaurant, and they say, oh, it's so good to see you. Let me take you out to lunch. I want to feed you. Bro, I just ate. No, but I want you to come and eat with me. Bro, I'm about to purge. Like, I can't have another morsel, but I want you to come with me. Come, let's eat some more. Would that be the wrong thing? Wouldn't you say, bro, I'll take a rain check. Let's do it another day. But this is what happens in the body of Christ. You don't understand what I'm talking about, so let me tell you. When you evangelize, stop evangelizing to Christians. Especially Christians in your own church. Stop inviting Christians in your own church to your own Bible studies, to your own events, especially when they have their own pastor, their own teacher, their own worship leader, their own men's director, their own women's director, their own Joshua Tribe director, their own Generation Ignite director, their own children's ministry. They're already full. They're already stuffed. But you want to go and implant more into their spirit? Or is it just for you? Where's the real agenda? I'm telling you, I got to keep it real. There's so many rogue agents, people that are not even going to church. They won't submit to the pastor. They won't submit to leadership, but they want to start their own Bible study in their house or in a prayer. Oh, we want to do a prayer meeting. Well, tell me, what church are you plugged into? Oh, I don't go to church. Well, why not? I'm not part of the body of Christ because I don't want to submit. But you want to pour into my spirit? You've removed yourself from the body, but now you want to be part of the body? Outside of the body? That's a rogue agent. And for the sheep that are attending these things, bro, think about it. Do some research. Ask your leader. Where are you plugged into? Who's your pastor? Where's your foundation? Are you stewarding? Are you a good steward? Or you don't want to go to church because you don't want to pay tithes and offerings. Is that what it is? So you're robbing God, but you want to preach and teach and pour into my life? When God himself calls you a thief? up, so.
Turn your neighbor and say, he ain't talking about me. Praise God. And he may be talking about you. He ain't talking about me. Praise God. That ain't me. Hallelujah. Do you know why I'm saying this? Because we see people coming to church and we think the church is growing, but all we're doing is recycling Christians. We're taking Christians from one church and bringing them to another church. And we think that the church is growing, but it's not growing. All we're doing is recycling ourselves. The kingdom of God is growing by zero, Papa. Zero, Papa. If you were filled with the Holy Ghost, you'd have a boldness and a courage to go out into the street and find somebody and share Jesus. And when they're crying and you're praying for them in the parking lot of Walmart and they're crying and they say, now what? Now what do I do? I know what you do. I'm going to do a Bible study in my house. Why don't you come to my house Thursday night at 7:30? Here's my address. Here's my phone number. That's how it's done. Praise God. That's evangelism. That's building the kingdom of God. Not going to brothers and sisters and say, hey, I'm doing a Bible study. Would you like to come to my house to do a Bible study? But bro, I just came from Bible study. I'm full. Oh, but I could give you better. I'll give you shrimp. I'm allergic to shrimp. Then I'll bring you daddy's donuts. I bind you, Satan. Bring me some celery and carrots. Hallelujah. With some ranch dressing. Okay, I had to make light humor, but it's so true. There's so much going on in the body of Christ, and these are the things that separate the brethren. And it causes division, and oftentimes even church splits. Because now at the other Bible study, they begin to say, well, you know what? I like the way you teach better than this person. I'm just going to start going here. And then next thing you know, they're not tithing anymore. Now they're giving you the tithes and offerings. And now your head is swelled up because you think you're a better teacher. And now you say, maybe I should be a pastor. Maybe I should start my own church. You know what? And let me call this one and that one and this one. And then 30 people go to another body. And now you've got a split. And the devil sits in the chair laughing at the body of Christ. Tired of this stuff. What about becoming a fisher of men? Do the work of an evangelist. Be fruitful and multiply. Build the kingdom of God. Stop taking from the kingdom to build your own kingdom. Saints of God, we need to recapture real Pentecost, where 3,000 souls are added, where 5,000 souls are added, where we're not subtracting from the kingdom, but we're adding to the kingdom. Let's do our part and let's see heaven filled, packed with fresh souls for Jesus Christ. God bless you, saints of the Most High. Glory to God.
We are so grateful to God for allowing us the opportunity to share this message with you. Thank you for listening. We want you to know that you are all in our constant prayers. If you've been blessed by today's program, why not consider partnering with us? To make a donation is easy. You can visit us online at www.specchurch.net, or you can call us at 845-956-0133. Once again, that's www.specchurch.net or 845-956-0133. We invite you to worship with us one Sunday morning soon. Thank you again for your prayers and support. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. God bless you.